Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. You're looking at me and going, why are you wearing a t-shirt? Hallelujah. Because I want to identify, amen, with the miracle of salvation. Now, Pastor Alex Wilson, he's got his t-shirt on, but nobody knows what it means, except that a South African football team won rugby. Amen. Something. Yeah. There you go. There you go. Man, today is going to be a good day. Amen. This is such a wonderful, wonderful service. As I look around this room, I am just blown away, man. This blows me away just to see what God's doing. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We want to take a moment and welcome everybody. We want to welcome everybody joining us online as well. As you know and you can see, we are going to be having a baptismal service today. You know what I'd like to do real quick? And you just got to put up with me, those of you who got shirts on like this. I want you all to stand up. Those are getting baptized. Would you stand up real quick? Let's give them a hand. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Wow, this is so powerful. So powerful. I went up to somebody when I put this shirt on, I went up to somebody and I went, you know, I think it's time I get baptized. So that's not true. I've been baptized, I think. Wasn't I? Yeah, no, I was. Amen. We're going to have a good time in the Lord. I just want to take just a few minutes, if I can, and I just want to minister a short message to you, because today is not so much about the preaching today, but what today is about the miracle working power of God. Amen. And what he does in lives. And, you know, this is a day of victory. This is a day of celebration. Amen. This is why this church is open, is because we want to see people saved. We want to see lives changed. You know, on a regular basis, I'm often asked that, you know, what is your vision? What is it? Well, let me just tell you, my vision, what I have for this church, is that we would be exactly what those three words say in the back, is that we would be a church where people can find grace, receive hope, and experience transformation. And you know what? That whole thing about transformation, that's kind of why we chose this thing to identify those that are getting baptized today, is because they went, that's exactly, when they gave their lives to Jesus, when they got saved, they went from ashes to beauty. Can you say amen? You know what? There was their lives, you know, who knows the messes, who knows the things, only any one of us could testify of the difficulty of our life before Jesus, right? But you know what? When Jesus came into our lives, wow, something happened. Amen. And so today, that's why we're doing this. And I asked Andy, you know, I says, I was out in the foyer, what I wanted to do, I says, what if I put a t-shirt on under my dress shirt? And then at the right moment, I just tore it off, you know. But I like my dress shirt. I don't want to ruin it. And I am just far too attractive to just do it. We would have to counsel everyone. You know, it's just too. It's too much. It's sensory overload for people. So we just thought. My son is laughing at me. So we thought we would just go ahead. But I just wanted to identify with you guys, because, you know, what you're doing today is awesome. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. And so I just wanted to just be a part of the party, amen? Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Luke chapter 19. We'll get to that here in a few minutes. And I want to start off by asking you a question this morning. And I want you to think about this question, because sometimes I think we're too quick sometimes to answer what we perceive as a no-brainer question, you know, those real simple ones we answer too quickly, because we have these preconceived ideas. We have these, you know, pre-rehearsed answers. And what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to just go, yeah, that's what I think. I want you to think about this for a moment, because this means something. This is important today. So here's the question. Here's the question. Are miracles real? Amen. Amen. Some of you did what I said. You answered quickly. Why don't you think about it? It's easy. See, here's the thing. This is the thing. And this is what I want to teach you. Is it's easy to say, yeah, they're real. But when we need a miracle, we struggle. We wonder if it's real. In fact, even some of us, when we receive a miracle, we'll question, did I get a miracle? And I think what we need to understand is that God is a supernatural God. God moves in supernatural power. And he does things in our lives for us that we cannot in any way do for ourselves. Can you say amen? And you know what? God is a miracle worker. And I could tell you, in one word, the answer to that question is a resounding yes. Miracles are real. I believe in miracles. And here's the thing. I go so far as to say this. I believe they're happening more often than we may understand. See, because some miracles are subtle. Listen to what I'm saying. Some miracles are subtle. Now, we know that some miracles are dramatic. They're larger than life. They're unmistakable. It's like, wow, can you imagine? Oh, my gosh. And we're just moved by that. But some miracles are subtle. But either way, they are real and they are significant. The problem is that we oftentimes set conditions in our belief system for accepting whether a miracle has happened or not. Okay, this is what I'm talking about. See, we put conditions of time, place, and delivery on events in our life to determine whether a miracle has happened or not. And if those conditions many times are not met, then what we do when something happens is oftentimes we slough off what's going on into the pile of coincidence. Are you hearing me? See, because I believe that God is doing miracles all the time. And I'm choosing. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'll just be honest. I'm not always good at this because I'm a very logical thinker. Amen. And so what happens is I don't see things in the supernatural as well as I do in the natural. I come up for reasons why things happen. So the thing that we have to start doing is we have to start seeing those small things that take place in our life. We have to see those things that are happening as really God moving. For instance, I'm not trying to trivialize or cheapen miracles, but if you go to the grocery store and you get a really good parking space, you need to thank God you got a miracle. Amen. Amen. I know. Here, all you logical thinkers, I know. I can feel you. I can feel your logic just oozing into my brain right now. I can feel it. You're like, oh well, come on, that's just coincidence. You know, you know what? You drive around the parking lot enough, eventually you're gonna find a good spot. Somebody's gonna move. You're gonna get there. It's gonna be all, you know, whatever. God didn't move. God didn't move a car out of the way so you could park. Well, I choose to believe he did. You know, you're goofy. Well, maybe. But you know what? I choose to believe God, he did that. And when I go into the grocery store and I'm looking for something and that thing is on sale, I believe God did that for me. And you go, no, they were having a sale. Everybody gets blessed. Yes, everybody gets blessed from my miracle. That miracle was mine and you all get blessed by it. You say, well, that's a little arrogant. No. It ain't about me. It is all about him. It is about what he does. And if we don't have that mindset, then what can happen is we can begin to overlook things in our lives that God is actually really doing. I think we have to retrain ourselves. You go, well, you know, aren't you, you know, maybe you're in danger of, you know, kind of being a little creepy, or maybe you're in danger of, you know, maybe getting a little silly, or I think we need to be a little silly. I think the truth is we're in danger of being really stuffed shirt. Amen. I think what we need to see is God moving. I think we need to see that we are children of the kingdom. I think what we need to see is that God is for us. Can you say amen? Now, I want you to listen to this passage of scripture. This is out of 1 Kings chapter 19. This is not our text, but I want you to listen to it. Verse 11 and 12, it says, "Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Now, did you notice something there? In all of the things that we would normally attribute to the miracle-working power of God, God says, "I'm not in that." Doesn't mean he's never in it, because he is. Because when fire falls from heaven, he's in it. When the earth shakes, he's the one shaking it. When the wind blows, when the Spirit is moving, God's moving. But listen to me, it's not always that way, because sometimes he's in the still small voice. Sometimes God is in the whisper. And that's what we need to train ourselves. See, we can see the big thing. Amen. If you go home today and sitting on your counter is $1 million, that's a miracle. Or criminal. No. The reality is we see the big thing. When we see that, we can understand it. But let me tell you, God is just as much in the still small voice. When you're driving down the road and you're ready to lose your mind, you're ready to get into some road rage. Amen. It's easy in Kingman. Truth. And the Holy Spirit goes, "Don't do that. Don't do that." Can I tell on myself? Is that okay? The other day I was coming to work. I don't know if I told this story yet or not. Maybe I did. But if I did, you'll hear it again. I was coming to work and I had come to a stoplight and there was one car in front of me before the light. And so I come up. You know, not fast, not aggressive, but I come up and I just, you know, stop. And the lady in front of me just inched up a little bit. Well, I don't know why I did, but I inched up too. And then she did something that triggered really something bad in me, because she inched up again. And I went, aha, this is a game is afoot. So I inched up again. Then she inched up again. I inched up again. And finally, she's going, "Stop." I could see her looking in my, because she's afraid I'm going to hit her car. And in my mind, my natural mind, I'm going, "Do you think I am going to hit your crummy car with my truck and possibly scratch it?" So I'm sitting there thinking, well, I'm going to push you into the intersection. And then all of a sudden, this still small voice says to me, "Hey, idiot, what are you doing? You're a pastor. You love people." And I'm going, "Maybe." But sometimes we can get in that thing, but we got to hear that still small voice, and we got to recognize that that moment, that's supernatural. That's a miracle. Can you say amen? Sometimes the greatest miracles happen in the least dramatic way. If you want a quotable quote, that's a good one. Sometimes the greatest miracles happen in the least dramatic way, but they happen, don't they? And they are real, they're life-changing, and they're extremely powerful. See, the thing is, we love grand displays of power. We love blind eyes open. We love deaf ears that are restored. We love the lame walking and the dead raised. We love that. But can we still believe in miracles even when they're less dramatic? Think about it. What is the greatest miracle you've ever seen or have ever known about? I think about the moments that I've been in Africa. I think about the stories that we hear from the missionaries that we support. We have a missionary that we support by the name of Alex Chimbaro, great man of God, has a great work in Malawi and the surrounding countries of Africa there. And this man, I'm going to tell you, he lives in a way that most of us would never live. But this guy has seen miracles. He's seen the dead raised in his church multiple times. I remember one story of a young man that was in his church that got sent out to pastor a church, and he was going to the city, and when he got to the city, he got robbed, and the robbers ended up killing him. He died, but somebody came along and prayed for him, raised him from the dead, and he went to the jail where they caught the robber, and he witnessed to his murderer. That's pretty powerful. Can you say amen? That's like kind of off the hook type stuff. That's like, wow. I mean, I'm blown away by that. I think about the miracles that I've experienced. I told the story in 8:30 service that when we were building this building, we didn't have all the fancy equipment that normally people have to do stuff. And so we took a lot of chances with stuff, and occasionally we got hurt. Well, on this one particular occasion, Pastor Howard had the backhoe loader, had the front end loader on it, you know, and we were using that as a forklift type thing to lift people up in the air. It's not OSHA recommended, but it works. So I had to get up high, and we were working on the classroom building. I had to get up high and tighten up some bolts. And so Pastor Howard says, just jump in the bucket. I'll get you up there. I went, okay, not a problem. So I jumped in the bucket. He lifted me up. I had the wrench. I tightened the bolts. And I had to go down. He goes, just stay in there. I'll put you down, and I'll move you over. I said, okay. And so he brings me down a little ways. It wasn't a whole long way, but I'm still up in the air. Well, he's moving the tractor now, and he goes off about an 18-inch drop in the front wheels. And it slammed this side right into the edge of the bucket and broke my rib right here. And I don't know if you've ever had a broken rib, but it's a drag. It's horrible. I couldn't sleep, couldn't breathe, couldn't move, just all this stuff. And back in those days, there wasn't a lot of mercy, so you still had to show up and work. And so I'm really in a lot of pain. And I remember being at a friend's house, and whether you agree with this man or not, Benny Hinn was preaching. He was on the TV, and he was looking in the camera, and he says this. He goes, if you're in pain right now, stretch your hands towards the TV. God will heal you. And I was desperate. I stretched my hands out, and you know what? God healed me. Completely healed. It was a miracle of God. It was God moving in my life, and I love that. And these are all great, but what is the greatest of all miracles? The greatest miracle a person can experience in life is the miracle of salvation. It's the miracle that turns us from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive in Christ. And this morning, what we're going to see firsthand is the evidence of that miraculous power working in this church. Can you say amen to that? But before we get to all of that, we're almost through. I want to take a few moments, and I want to look at just how extensive this miracle of salvation is. And this is where our text is. Luke chapter 19, starting with verse number 1, going through verse number 9. And I'm going to take the time to read this, because I need you to catch the story. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus climbed down and took Jesus to his house in a great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. Isn't that amazing how when God is at work? This is the problem right here. Because the miracle was not working the way they wanted it to, they were displeased. Because he has gone to the guest of a notorious sinner. they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. And Lord, and if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. Now, this is powerful, church. This is something that needs to be paid attention to. And there are four things that I want you to see real quick. And in fact, we're almost ready, so if Jason and the worship team can come, I want you to think about these things. Number one, no one is too bad to be saved or is beyond the grace of God. You got to think about this. Zacchaeus is a horrible guy. I mean, when they talked about sinners, when they talked about the people that were rough, when they talked about the people that were really nasty, they would call them tax collectors or publicans. These guys were the lowest of the low. Why? Because they were Jews working for the Roman government that was cheating their own people. But in this one moment, Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house. And he goes from a greedy tax collector who is betraying his own nation to now he is a generous Christian. That's mind-boggling. See, today you got family members, you have people in your life, there's folks in your life that you think, oh, they're too much, it's too hard, there's no way that they could ever be. No, no, God is able. There is no one that is beyond God's ability to save. Number two, we see the power of Jesus' compassion towards the worst of sinners. That's the thing that's so amazing to me, is that somehow in the midst of this, even the worst of the worst gets God's compassion. I heard it this way one time, talking about the story of Zacchaeus, is that day, because someone was accepted, someone got saved. You know who got accepted? It was Zacchaeus. We always think, well, Zacchaeus accepted Jesus. You're not going to see it here. What you see is Jesus came and acknowledged Zacchaeus and loved him and cared for him. And the outcome was Zacchaeus received salvation. Are you seeing that today? The third thing is, salvation is not of works, but of grace. The reality is Zacchaeus did nothing. If there was anything that we could say or do or anything that we could even calculate, it would be that Zacchaeus simply opened his home to Jesus. He just simply accepted the invitation. And number four, when someone gets saved, it's unmistakable. You know, this is somewhat a little bit controversial because there's a lot of people today that they come to an altar or they say a sinner's prayer and they think, okay, I'm golden. But I could tell you that when somebody truly gets saved, it's unmistakable. There's a change. Rosemary and I were talking in between services and she reminds me of a time several years ago that a young woman came to our church. And when she came in, she was dressed in a very, very skimpy clothing, really short dress, very loose and revealing t-shirt, but she gave her life to Jesus. She came to the altar and responded to God, and almost immediately she began to adjust her clothing, because all of a sudden in that moment she became aware. There's something about salvation that brings transformation. Sometimes it's very subtle. Sometimes we're waiting for this grand display, but sometimes it can just be as subtle is making a small adjustment. Sometimes it can be just as subtle as now you find yourself lifting your hands worshiping God. You go, I never did that before. There's a change. It's unmistakable. But I want to look at real quick these changes that come. I want you to think about it. When we get saved, you know what happens? We are forgiven, we are justified, and we are redeemed. Think about that. Every sin, every failure is wiped away. Everyone. Every sin, every failure, wiped away. As if you did not do it. No longer on your account. Your bill paid in full. You owe nothing. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. This was not some sort of process of work that we had to labor and work and we had to walk our way out. No, we were in the kingdom of darkness. And one moment later, we're in the kingdom of light. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We've been sanctified and reconciled and brought back into right relationship with Jesus. We have become a brand new creature, and we are made the temple of the Holy Spirit. The one who is unknowable, unsearchable, unlimited, who the universe cannot contain, lives in and through our lives. We are given a new identity, no longer orphans, no longer slaves. We are adopted into the family of God as God's children. We now have an inheritance. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We have a place in the family of God. We are citizens of heaven, given unlimited access to the Father. And we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, given all authority and all power over all the works of the enemy. And that is just the beginning. That is just the tip of the iceberg of what God does for us. The greatest miracle is your salvation. So today, we're going to have this moment where we're going to baptize some folks. This is a celebration. This is a testimony of this miracle-working power in these lives. So I'm going to ask if all of you that are getting baptized, would you do me a favor? Would you walk right in front of that, come around on these steps and walk down? I want you to stand on the platform. I'm going to be up here with you, I promise. Come on. Come on. Amen. 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 Can I get an usher? Tom, Frank. Can you take that pulpit? Hallelujah. Come on up, right up these steps. Right up these steps. Just come on right up. Okay. God bless you, brother. Right down to the end. Right down to the end. Just come on down. We're just, and I want you all face that way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is what it's all about right here, folks. Hallelujah. Let's give them a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, you know what? What I want to do today, I want you all getting baptized. I want to do something I've never done before, but what I want to do is I want to speak over you today, and I want to declare something over you. Because I believe God's going to do miracles in your life. And so we're going to do a prayer, but I'm going to speak over your life. So I want you to just listen to this, and I want you to receive it today. Father, we come to you right now, and we thank you so much, Lord, for each and every person standing on this platform. We thank you, God, for their testimony and their confession of faith in Jesus Christ. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare over them blessing. I declare over them power and authority. I declare over them all that the Word of God promises to a son or a daughter of God. Right now, Father, I declare that everything they put their hand to will prosper. They will have peace. They will not have chaos. They will have victory. They will not have defeat. Father, right now in Jesus' name, you will use them. You will guide them. You will, Father, bring your wisdom and knowledge to their lives. And Father, your hand would be upon them. And Father, we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what we're going to have you do, amen. I know this was a little bit, we just want to celebrate with you. We want you to, I'm just going to have you walk down here, and then we're going to have you just, we're going to play music while we baptize you. Bill and Tom are going to come, and I just want you to come down and just walk in, and we're going to baptize you in and out, right now. Hallelujah. Come on this way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you glory. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where's Tom? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory.
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide. This bag of bones, I tried with all my might, I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. And just when I ran out the road, I met a man I didn't know. And he told me that I was not alone. He picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart. He changed my name, forever free, I am not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. I cannot deny what I've seen, got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends, burden and bitterness. So you just keep it moving, you ain't welcome here. From now till I walk the streets of gold, I sing how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back home. He picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, changed my name. Forever free, I am not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Oh, let's sing it out. Hell lost another one.
Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Oh, hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. Yes, I am free. And hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. And I am free. Oh, hell lost another one. I am free. And I am free. I am free. And hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Oh, hell lost another one. I am free. Oh, I am free. You pick me up and turn me around, place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, all because he healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I am not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. You pick me up, you turn me around, place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name. Forever free, I am not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God, Jesus. when I feel the fear come, and I won't run away, even in valleys. Your presence is enough when I feel the shaking, and I will stand my ground. My God, you are enough. You are with me. Oh, Father, you're for me. Fear will never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus, and I'm never alone. I'm never abandoned. Fear will never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus. When I feel the pressure, and I won't run away, even in tension, your presence is enough. When I feel the mystery, and I will stand my ground. My God, you are enough. You are with me. Oh, Father, you're for me. Fear will never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus. I'm never alone. I'm never abandoned. Oh, fear will never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, when the rain fell, when the floods came, when the wind blew, I was okay. You were right there. You're in every step I take. When my heart fell, when my heart aches, if I stumble, I will not break. You were right there. You're in every step I take. When the rain fell, when the floods came, when the wind blew, I was okay. You were right there. You're in every step I take. When the night falls, when my heart aches, if I stumble, I will not break. You were right there. You're in every step I take. You're my shepherd, you're my keeper, my provider, my protector. You surround me, you're in every step I take. You're the goodness, you're the constant, you're my first love and my future. You surround me, you're in every step I take. You are with me. Father, you're for me. Oh, fear will never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus. I'm never alone. I'm never abandoned. Good feel never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus. Oh, you're my shepherd, you're my keeper, my provider, my protector. You surround me, you're in every step I take. You're the goodness, or the constant, or my first love and my future. You surround me, you're in every step I take. You are with me. Oh, Father, you're for me. Oh, fear will never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus. I'm never alone. I'm never abandoned. Oh, fear you'll never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus. Fear will never conquer me. Yes, I belong to Jesus. Fear will never conquer me. Yes, I belong to Jesus. And fear will never conquer me. Cause I belong to Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God, you are so good. You are so good. Hallelujah. This has been such a wonderful day. Amen. Hallelujah. Celebrating salvation. Amen. Praise God. I want to do one last thing before we leave this place. Would you all do me a favor? Would you all bow your head with me? You know what? I don't know everyone in the room right now. But this is an opportunity right now. You're here and you say, man, I want to be a part of that. I want what they have. Well, the good news is you can have it. God will bless you. He will come in. He will save you. So, well, what do I got to do? All you got to do is receive him. So if that's you, would you just so that I know, would you just lift your hand up if you want Jesus? Amen. I see that hand, that hand, that hand. Wow, hands, lots. I want you to pray this prayer with. In fact, let's all pray this prayer. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins, to be my Lord and my Savior. I give you my life. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to look up at me. I don't want you getting up and leaving just yet. I'm gonna ask our prayer team. I'm gonna ask some of our pastors and elders and whatever to be up front right here. And you know what? If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the 101st time, I don't care. I would just like you, as we're dismissing today, just to come up and talk to one of these, just for a minute. Just the only thing you gotta do is just, I just gave my life to Jesus. That's all we want. That's all we need. Amen. Does it sound good? Amen. In the next baptismal service, you're going to get baptized. This will be about you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just close in real quick. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to close in a word of prayer, and then we're going to let you out of here. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray, God, that you, God, would bless this moment. God, galvanize this moment right now in this place. Father, Lord, those that have been baptized, God, your hand upon them. Those that gave their life to Jesus this morning, I pray your hand upon them. And Father, your blessing upon this church in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week. You have a wonderful day. All the parents, Children's Church parents, your kids are up front. If you have a child in Children's Church, they're up front.
I like it. All right. I've got to go do my thing.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.